Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk about what? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Will? I'm looking at our general manager here. We're going to talk about Anna Nicole Smith. Come on. I can't talk about that on my show. There was a talk show host a few days ago, and he said he was the last talk show host in the country who has not talked about Anna Nicole Smith, and then he talked about her. And I thought, no, you're not. I haven't talked about her yet. So, but now we will briefly talk about that. And also, the U.S. Supreme Court today has ruled that, well, you're in big trouble because, no, not you, Will, the listeners, because they've ruled that our bureaucrats in the federal government now can use the force of law to fight global warming. That's big time trouble. And John Travolta is on board, though. Literally, he's on board. One of his five private planes, telling us that we have to do what we can to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that we produce, while he has five private planes. So he's on board. He thinks we need to go to other planets. These people are whacked. The whole bunch of them are whacked. Okay, and Apple, talk about poetic justice. Apple, which just salivates whenever Microsoft is taken to court, like in Europe, over an anti-competitive case. And so now Europe is taking Apple to court over their iTunes exclusivity and their anti-competition practices. What comes around goes around, right? So that's some of what we'll be talking about today. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Okay, to start with, Anna Nicole Smith and her death, her partner slash lawyer, Howard K. Stern, he, I think, is giving new meaning to the term medical malpractice attorney, right? Medical malpractice attorney. Normally, that's an attorney who sues a doctor for medical malpractice. But in his case, he is the one who's committed medical malpractice, and he's the attorney. He gets prescription drugs in his name and is obviously feeding them to Anna Nicole Smith. So he is the epitome of a medical malpractice attorney. He should sue himself. He would make a fortune. So pretty spooky guy. And the whole issue over the custody of her baby daughter and Howard K. Stern is doing whatever he can to obstruct and to delay, and that is pretty cruel to that baby girl. That's cruel to her because at her age, this is when you begin to bond with your caregiver or your family. And so most likely he's going to lose custody of her, but he's holding on to what? Living rent-free? Holding on to headlines, holding on to her as a tool, a pawn, that's cruel to that baby girl. And for whatever kind of a lowlife Howard K. Stern has been, he's reaching a new pinnacle of being despicable with how he is using her. And sadly, though, that's pretty common in family court, right? In divorce cases, how parents, married couples that get divorced, and then they use their kids as weapons against one another. That's tragically common. And for liberals who say that people are basically good, you know, they deny God's word. God's word indicates that because of the fall, that mankind, that we are in rebellion against God, and through selfishness, pride, we sin and we hurt one another. We hurt ourselves and we hurt God. But I guess a liberal has never gone to family court to see how vicious people can be, let alone nation against nation or Microsoft against Apple. It's husband against wife. using the kids as weapons to hurt one another. That's about as despicable as things could be. And that's how they are. All right, so Anna Nicole Smith, her partner is a medical malpractice attorney in the new sense of the term, the woodenly literal sense of the term. He's cruel to the baby. And, you know, the video that's been shown on the news of Anna Nicole just totally plastered with the baby. She's the baby's mother, the caregiver. I have no confidence whatsoever in the courts generally and their ability to see if there is a celebrity. It's unlikely that the courts are going to enforce justice regarding a child who's put in a situation of extreme danger and risk because her mother is a drug addict. And so Anna Nicole Smith, I don't think she was likely to lose custody of her baby, even though she's a drug addict. And so the best thing that could have happened for this baby is that her mother would repent and turn toward God, learn what it means to be modest and respectful. You know, she would do her seductive video shoots and photo shoots in front of her teenage son. Now, how do I know that? It was on the news. Her teenage son is there, and she is doing everything she can to exude seductiveness. And I don't know if it's just me. It can't be just me. But whenever I saw her, the feeling of what? Nauseousness. That's the reaction I would have toward her. You know, a woman presenting herself as though she's just filth in the gutter, that's not real appealing to me. I guess it is to some guys who think of women like they're just a dog. You know, the way Hollywood and the media and liberals and Larry Flint and so on, and Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, the way they all present women, that they're just animals. But for me, it's sort of gross. Okay, so this baby, the best thing that could have happened to this baby is that her mother would have repented and turned toward God. And short of that, the next best thing is that her mother would lose custody of the baby. And now that's what's happened. In a very tragic way, but the mom lost custody of the baby. Okay. So that's our Anna Nicole Smith report for the decade. Okay. Now what? John Travolta. Now this guy, he is a lunatic. What, he thinks we don't know that he's obsessed with aviation? He's a pilot. That's great. More power to pilots and owning private planes and private yachts and private submarines. I mean, the economy is so great. Some people now own private submarines. I'm all for it. Didn't billionaires from Microsoft buy a submarine? I think he did. So, yeah, for sure. So anyway, that's fine. But John Travolta is telling us, you know, the little people who made it all possible for him. He's telling us, the little people, he's lecturing us that we need to do what we can, do our bit to tackle global warming and reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. While he has this massive complex, this compound that he lives in, and he's got his private jets pulled up to the front of his house. It's hysterical. Hop on a private jet and just one round trip across the country. What does it produce? 90,000 pounds of carbon dioxide compared to, for an average American in an entire year, produces 50,000 pounds. That's just one round trip, New York to LA and back. Okay. He lives in Florida, right? So Florida to LA, go to the Oscars, back home. And so he's seriously suggesting, along with Stephen Hawking, you know, that Stephen Hawking scientist the guy who's totally insignificant. He is, John Travolta is suggesting that we need to go to other planets as a way of combating global warming. Now, does he have even an inkling of how many greenhouse gases get put in the atmosphere when you launch? I mean, you launch a spaceship, you have to exceed, you got to go fast enough to reach escape velocity to break free of the Earth's gravity. And what are the numbers? I don't know the numbers. I've seen launches at Cape Canaveral. I mean, it's, what is it like? One launch equals the greenhouse gas emissions of 30,000 people. I don't know what it is for a year, for their lives. And so what, for every 30 people we are going to send to Mars in a spaceship, it's going to be a death sentence for 30 million on Earth because they'll be increasing global warming just by launching. They're a bunch of lunatics. They're lunatics. They don't worship the Creator. They worship the Earth. Now, if you don't worship the Creator, you're left with this human desire to worship something. So you end up worshiping the creation. So people worship maybe themselves as God, or they worship the Earth. That would be a dirt worshiper, right? A dirt worshiper is someone who does not worship the Creator, but worships the creation. So they worship dirt. They say, well, I don't worship dirt. I worship nature. What do you mean nature? Well, you know, the whole cycle of nature thing. So I ask him, you mean like in the restroom, before you flush, you bow down and worship your God? That's that cycle of nature that you're worshiping? Before you flush, bow down to your God. That's if you worship nature. That's your God. That is your God. So now the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that the federal government bureaucrats have authority over our greenhouse gas emissions. So we may see a regulation in the near future that perhaps you have to exhale only once for every two inhales. I mean, that's a possibility, isn't it? I mean, how many millions of liberals around the world would sign a petition to outlaw dihydrogen monoxide? You've seen that on the internet, right? The effort to outlaw dihydrogen monoxide, because you know that dihydrogen monoxide is the most significant component of acid rain. You know that, right? And you know that open vats of dihydrogen monoxide are in industrial plants throughout America, and that children and animals, small children and animals, frequently drown in open vats or pools of dihydrogen monoxide. And with 100 other reasons, liberals try to outlaw, they'll sign petitions to outlaw dihydrogen monoxide. Now, di, that means two, right? Di means two, and mono means one. So dihydrogen, that's two hydrogen atoms, and monoxide, one oxygen atom. So that forms a molecule of two hydrogen, one oxygen. That's H2O. Yeah, that's H2O. Liberals, what? They would sign such a petition by the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, the millions, to outlaw H2O, water, because they'd read, it's a component of acid rain, H2O. Wow. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Earl, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that, start with, I'm 50 years old, been a Christian all my life, raised in the South, live in Colorado, and in the last about 10 years,
Hey, Earl, we are having a hard time hearing you. You're on a cell phone? Let us put you...
I'm on a mobile phone. I'm breaking up.
Yeah, let us put you on hold. We'll get your number. We'll try to get back to you. Okay, my call screener is trying to get through to Earl, and hopefully we'll get a better connection. And the indication here is that he doesn't like how I bash the term liberal. And that's a reasonable question. The terms conservative and liberal, are they valid? Now, I prefer the terms right-wing and left-wing. I prefer those terms, except that our culture is, you know, people look at you cross-eyed when you talk about right-wingers, left-wingers. They're not sure what that means, and they have a bit of a better idea with liberal and conservative. But let's hear Earl. Go ahead, Earl. Why don't you use of the term liberal?
Yes, because if you look in the dictionary, a liberal is somebody that's willing to take a risk and willing to give up control to find alternative solutions to whatever the situation may be. A conservative is somebody that is afraid of change and wants to exercise control. And basically, our country was founded by liberals.
Okay.
Years ago, the England was full of conservatives, and if you didn't belong to their church and do it their way, you were be damned. And so a lot of liberals got together and settled the new world and have a revolution, and every technological marvel that we embrace in our culture was done by liberals. So...
Hey,
I agree with you. There's tons of wackos out there that are now called liberals.
Yes.
But they should be called wackos.
Okay.
Because conservatives,
Earl,
that are really into control are going to do to our country what we left England for 200 years ago.
Earl, certainly we could launch on an effort to recapture an original use of the term liberal. And, of course, as we fought that battle, we would not be fighting other battles. But the term liberal, you know, if you go back a couple hundred years or more, it had one sense in America and England, and it had the exact opposite sense in the continent on Europe. But liberal meant someone who supported liberty, as in the Christian sense of liberty in God. We honor
right.
God.
I agree. Yeah.
We honor God and we maximize our liberty.
Right.
But words tend to change over time. And so a conservative then was someone who wanted to conserve, wanted to keep those Christian foundational beliefs in place. And then liberals came to mean someone who wanted to change the status quo. Now, those terms are really not very valid unless everybody knows what we mean by them, because
right.
certainly today conservatives despise the status quo and want a major renovation of what is taken for granted today as legal. And
right.
liberals are more inclined to want to conserve the way things are today. So the best terms
change it in another way. Right.
So the best terms to be purist are right-wingers and left-wingers, and those terms go back not only centuries, but thousands of years, and they apply in different cultures also. And
right.
So you go back 300 years ago, and in Parliament in London, those who were more conservative sat on the right of the Parliament, and that we would consider conservatives, and those who were more progressive would sit on the left. You go back to Solomon 3,000 years ago in Ecclesiastes, and he wrote that a good man's heart is on his right and the fool's heart is on his left. And if you look at the words right and left in many languages, from French to Chinese to English, you see that right often means correct. And like left in France, their word for sinister and left are similar.
Right, right.
I was explaining this to a guy I was flying with on a plane, and I think he was from Taiwan, and he wrote out the symbols in Chinese for right and left, and he said these are also good and bad.
I have another question for you. I agree with you on all that.
All right.
So it's just a matter of semantics as far as the definition. One other thing. Do you think in our society, let's say, if Christianity becomes, it obviously is a dominant religion in our culture, but if it becomes like almost a state institution, could that be bad? I mean, could conservatism and control over top of people wanting to exercise other thoughts and beliefs, I mean, that could go to where it's bad.
Earl, we have suggested a constitution on our website, a proposed new constitution for our country, seeing that we're only a couple hundred years old, and we've become a colossal failure if you look at morality and family and do not murder, do not steal, and so on.
Right.
We've proposed a new constitution, and you could get it at our website, kgov.com and shadowgov.com. But if you have a religious test for a leader, then no matter how evil someone is, they will pretend toward that religious test. So that what ends up happening is you bring down the religion rather than bringing up the politics. So you can't have a religious test as an effective way of ensuring that you'll have a good government. You just can't do it. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yeah.
Yeah, and our Constitution that we propose has absolutely no religious test. One of the other things we undo is the pretending that you can have a system of checks and balances where committees will oversee other committees and they will be overseen by other committees. And if you get enough people in the mix on all these committees, then you'll have a good government. That is humanism. That's based on the belief that man is basically good. And if you have enough people in the House of Representatives, as you could read in the Federalist Papers, surely the House of Representatives would never spend more money than they took in just taxes because the people would never permit it. So the idea
that doesn't occur.
Yeah, right. That's hysterical looking at it 200 years later. So a realistic look at human nature, you realize that men are basically sinful, and you cannot devise a system of checks and balances where men will make sure that other men don't misuse their governing authority. That's a Pollyanna, a pipe dream. It's a fantasy.
And so, that's led to the social breakdown of this country, whether it's religious based or something else, but like big business almost is the same way. You can say big Republican businesses and donors have the same view and the same immoral outlook on breaking down society.
As do what? Big Democratic corporations and
as
donors?
All corporations, right. All corporations.
I would say that's generally true. That's right.
So does Christianity really work with a capitalistic society?
Well, capitalism was Karl Marx's term. He meant it as an insult. And the proper term is freedom, economic freedom. That's
right.
The proper term. And economic freedom is mandated by God because he said, thou shalt not steal, in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. And Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of Matthew, said, is it not lawful for me to do with my money what I will? So as long as you're not committing a crime or violating a contract, you could enter into a financial agreement to buy or sell or make or be employed. It's up to the individuals. It's not up to the government. So the cure is far worse than the disease. If we're going to say that the government has the responsibility of making sure the economy is fair. The government is not wise enough, and it doesn't have the authority to make sure that our financial transactions are fair. The only thing they have the authority to do is to make sure that we don't steal from one another or violate contracts.
Right.
So,
great.
Hey, Earl, we're about out of time, but I enjoyed talking to you, and there's a lot more to talk about.
All right. Take care.
Please call in again. Appreciate that. And since we're almost out of time, I want to remind you about a few things. I didn't get to this email. Wow, there is a neat guy who has just seen Focus on the Strategy. He's an author. He's an expert in law, constitution, history. and he loved Focus on the Strategy. And so I'll tell you about him on a future show. April 12th, I will be presenting Focus on the Strategy 2 in Colorado Springs. Invitations are going out in the mail today to people who live in Southern Colorado and the Colorado Springs area to attend that. That's 7 o'clock in the evening, Thursday night, April 12th in Colorado Springs. If you'd like to attend, you could call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. It's $50. No, it's $30, $50 for a couple, $30, $50 for a couple. Then on April 8th, this Sunday morning, 6 a.m., we have a sunrise service. Boy, is that going to be exciting in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And you're invited to come. There'll be muffins and coffee and hot chocolate on a campfire. But you're invited. We're going to have a great time. 6 a.m. this Sunday morning. Call Denver Bible Church if you'd like directions. And that number is 303-463-1707. 303-463-1707. And then finally, April 25th. There are leaders coming in from around the country, a handful of Christian leaders, because of the 40th anniversary event at the Capitol. And it's the 40th anniversary of abortion being legalized in any state in the country. John in Fort Lupton, Colorado. Sorry, John. We ran out of time to get to your call. But what an interesting conversation with Earl. Earl obviously thinks, and that's appreciated. NPR Radio yesterday, they did an interview with a teenager, 17, 18-year-old, and she was pretty honest. She said, I don't want to think. She said, I have a 17-year-old friend who thinks and she cares about things. And she said, that's not where we're at. My friends and I, we don't want to think. We just want to have fun. And I thought, wow, what a moron. And she's admitting it. She's so stupid that she just admits it. It's refreshing to interact with people who care, people who think, and then we got to think properly. Otherwise, our opinions will add to the problem. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat school. Maranatha, you can check them out on the internet also, maranathachristiancenter.org. Is that right? And Bob and Yurt Live, give us a call sometime, 800-8-NYURT.